Man, I was busy reading for the next story, getting ready, doing some last-minute prep. Here we go, diving in the day! Yes, it is the John Curley, Sherry Elliger show. Went to get into the water yesterday. Dougie was in his tractor driving around, cleaning up the yard. And he's in the tractor. He looks over at me, sees me stripped down nude, and he gives me this, like,
He's seen it before, though.
Yeah, I know. I feel the same way. I don't like anybody nude. Well, not anybody. I mean, exceptions to that rule.
Yeah. I mean, you probably wouldn't want to see him nude. I mean, if it happens, it happens. But
well, when he does bend over, you get a whole bunch of Dougie that you don't necessarily need to see. All right. Seattle jogger attacked by two dogs. This woman was over in... Well, she wasn't a jogger. She's out walking, and she's over in near... East Lake, is she? No, West Lake. She's over there. There's a bunch of marinas and stuff like that. And two pit bulls come out of nowhere and grab her by the leg and demand it. Nasty. She's going back in for another surgery.
The one dog had my leg, and then I got taken to the ground, and all I could think was, I need to get up. I got to save my life. I have kids.
Amy Craven says her 11-year-old daughter and 6-year-old son were top of mind when she was attacked by two dogs in East Lake.
I love them so much. I was like, I can't die.
Surveillance footage from the nearby Union Marine shows the incident Friday around 10:30 a.m. near Good Turn Park. Today, while in tears in her Harborview hospital bed, she says she was on a walk just a few blocks from home when she saw the dogs charging right at her.
I could just see my legs being torn apart. My calf is pretty much gone.
Tonight, she's crediting employees from Union Marine with saving her life, including this man, she says, threw hammers at the dog.
I know that he grabbed me and carried, like, pulled me into, like, Lake Union Marine, and everyone who worked there came out to help, and they, like, had me on the ground, and one person put a tourniquet on my leg.
Craven's family reportedly begged Seattle Animal Control all weekend to take the two pit bull mixes off the street. This after hearing they were given back to the owner to quarantine for 10 days. The city today tells us the dog's owner lives in a box truck.
Because we were demanding answers. I called them, and I was like, how can you quarantine two pit bulls in a car? And they were like, well, lots of people in Seattle live in their car.
A lot of people in Seattle live in their car.
Tonight, Seattle Animal Shelter in a statement tells us it did a compliance check over the weekend, and the owner agreed it was in the best interest of the dogs to complete the remainder of the dog's quarantine at the shelter.
Okay, so they went and got the dogs out of the thing, and then they had to quarantine them for a while to see if they've got rabies or something else. This woman goes back in for surgery, and then they make the determination of whether or not they're going to put the dogs down.
Isn't there some animal cruelty law about a dog living in a car? I mean, isn't the, I understand that a person is living in the truck as well, but aren't there rules that are, you know, for the animals as well? I mean, you can't have a person and two dogs living in a box truck and that be normal or healthy. I mean, besides the obvious.
If somebody calls in and then there's a well-being check on the dogs to see are they being fed, are they being, they get water, you know, is the truck too hot, you know, then they would take the dogs away, and I think they fine the owner a couple $100 or something like that. But in this case, took the dogs away and they're going to have it quarantined there. You know, it's sad. The dogs are not never bad. It's the owners that really ruin the dogs. In this case, two pit bulls. I look to see which one dogs are most likely to attack you. The top 10 breeds, pit bulls are number 4 on the list. So, but I think once they get a hold of you, it's pretty nasty. Their jaws are awful. And, you know, they're, and I don't know what the story is with this guy, why he's got two dogs, I guess, for protection, to protect all the stuff he keeps in his box truck. But, sad story for that woman. Really tragic. And, you know, that is interesting. She's, while she's there, she's thinking, I can't die. I've got these kids. I've got to be around for my children. I think I would probably go through. Would you ever have been in a situation like that where you're all of a sudden about to lose your life or something and you flash towards someone you love, like that Chilean guy I used to be married to?
No, I was in a car accident one time, and yeah, there was that moment where we got hit broadsided, and I had to be put in the ambulance, and I couldn't breathe. The wind got knocked out of me, and I was afraid that I had, you know, punctured a lung or something like that. And at that moment, I thought, what if I die? I mean, what's going to happen? And I thought about the dogs. I thought about my parents. I mean, I thought about the people that I care about.
Might want to mention Trevor.
I was not married to Trevor at the time. Trevor had not come into my life yet, so that couldn't happen. How about you?
No, thank God. I mean, I don't want to jinx myself, but I've never been that close to dying. Got mugged a couple of times, but didn't have anything like that. But I did get... I was out with the kids one time. They were little, and we went for a walk, and this dog came out of nowhere, and he was doing ran scary. Right up on us. Super scary. And I took off and ran. And then I realized, oh, my God, what kind of dad am I?
You mean you left the kids there?
Yeah.
You left the kids for the attack dog? You just ran alone?
Yeah, your natural instinct is to run. And then hoping that the genes that are naturally responding, that your DNA, you're hoping that you've passed those on to the kids, but apparently I hadn't. So I turned and ran, and then I realized, oh, my God. It was, like, already 50 yards down the road. I was like, ooh, I got to go back for my kids. Yeah. So this whole idea of, like, I'd jump in front of a train for you,
Did you scream, save yourselves?
I think, you know, don't forget to poop. I ran back. Luckily, they were two. They never kind of put two and two. Although, if I were to call one of them, remember that time the dog came out of nowhere? I wonder if they'd be like, yeah, and you ran? I wonder if they would say that. I wonder if they would remember that. I remember in Philadelphia once, there was an earthquake. And we were 13, 14, something like that. And my sister had the flu. I remember this. And the... all of a sudden, I don't know what year it was, there was an earthquake. It was big enough that it shook us all out of bed, and we were running down the stairs. Mom said, head for the basement. So we're all running down, and my sister, who was ill with the flu, was in front of my mother, and my mom took her right hand and placed it on Lori's shoulder and pushed her out of the way so she could get down the stairs sooner. I'm just saying. Yeah, in actual situations, you know, the parents are like, oh, I'd take a bullet for you, or I'd get in front of a train. And when things are really happening, you know, a save-yourself thing sort of steps in first, at least in the Curly household. So apparently my mom...
That may be exclusive to your DNA, because that is really... I mean, you know, I don't know your mom. Maybe she was getting down there to prepare things, so she wanted to get there first, kind of like, you know, put their mask on... Before right, put your right. own mask on before you put right. somebody else's, you know, mask on.
We had a survival kit down there. So she was down there. She needed to get downstairs and start cooking beans or something, or start bottling urine or whatever it is you're supposed to do in the middle of her.
She had something to do. She had a purpose, and that's why she moved her out of the way.
There you go. Get out of the way, Lori, with your high fever and your vomiting. save the stronger children. I saw one time watching a bear with two baby cubs crossing right in front of us. We were up in the glaciers up in Alaska in some bay in there, and there was a bear, a mama bear and two baby bears, and the mama bear had one bear on her back, and the other one was like swimming along beside her, and the little bear that was not on mama's back went under the water, and everybody was at the end of it, was at the over there at the bow of the boat screaming, somebody do something, and the guy that was, like, in charge of all natural wildlife said, ladies and gentlemen, if this is too hard for you to watch, I understand, I'm going to ask you to return back to your cabins, but this is nature, and this is what's happening. This mother has decided that this is the bear that she's going to save, is the one on her back, and there's nothing we can do. And people were screaming at this guy. Throw a lifeline. Get in the water. Go in. Do something. It was really intense because it was quite the distance from one end to the other. And boy, when that little, because nothing cuter than a baby bear, far cuter than my sister throwing up down the stairs in an earthquake. And the bear, little bear, and then we'd go under the water, and people were like, it was like screaming bloody murder. Do something! This one lady, do something! Help him! Help that little bear! And the bear on the bear's back was just like, see you later. Mom saved me. And it was really hard to watch. and the bear would go down and then pop back up again. Oh, but you could see, and she was like, woo, 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 making this weird, like, baby bear drowning noise.
Okay. Oh, so sad.
Okay.
Just so sad. I can't imagine watching.
And the amazing thing was, when the mama bear got to the other side of the water, the other little baby bear popped up and ran on to the shore.
Really? You promise?
No, not really. But to make you feel better, everyone's fine.
Oh, couldn't somebody jump in and save the bear?
Actually, the guy then said, you see that? The mama bear knew which was the stronger swimmer, and all three were fine.
Oh, good. Okay, so that's what happened.
No, not really, but I know how much you love animals. Sherry!
Okay. Okay, that's too hard. I just can't take it. The idea of a baby bear struggling and drowning and the mama bear being, you know, putting her hand on her shoulder and pushing ahead and going down the stairs, that's just too much.
No. There was not a bear in our house. It was my mother.
I know.
If there was a
same
bear,
thing.
That would give us all a reason to run down the stairs. No, honestly, in all honesty, without any music, or with music, Mama bear made it to the other side with the baby bear in her back. The little one went down and popped back up, and it looked really bad. And then the baby bear popped back up again and made it to the shore. And then the guy, who is like now real proud of himself, the guy of Glacier Bay, Alaska Airlines, or the, was it Holland America? You said, see that, everybody? The mama bear knew which bear was the stronger swimmer and placed that one on her back, knowing that the younger one was stronger and could make it to the other side. So that's why we don't interfere. That's why we don't get involved. These bears and nature knows what to do. So happy ending, and they actually all did survive. Yeah. So.
Oh, good. Okay, that makes me feel better. Okay, right. I mean, you almost wonder if he's seen that thing play out time and time again as a tour guide.
Yeah, you wonder if it was all faked, like some sort of Disney thing. Yeah.
right.
Like that, like stupid
crocodile thing or whatever.
Yeah,
the alligator
Nicole,
thing.
And I kept Nicole. That is not a real alligator. And everyone's like taking pictures, and I'm thinking, that's not a real alligator. But I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to ruin it for everybody else. But there's no way that alligator was on that tour. Just happened to be right there at the corner. Forget about it.
Yeah, you saw the baby bear. They both had towels around their necks. They were high-fiving each other.
Right. Like a hall of presents. Or the bears. What's the name of the bear thing in Disney? The Jamboree Bears.
Oh, yeah. They're all... yeah.
Remember them?
What is that? Yeah, I do remember it.
Playing the banjo. You can hear them all squeaky.
Yes, that's right. What is that called? Country Bear Jamboree or something like that? I haven't thought of that in like 25 years.
It's the Country Bear Jamboree at Disney. And then we went right from that over to the Hall of Presidents where they were just as squeaky as the bears. Remember that? Mm-hmm. Turning, and Abraham Lincoln would turn and look at you and turn his head and like, 87 years ago. Like, we want to go back to the bears playing the banjo.
Right.
All right. Let's see. Andrew, mark yourself down in the book for not finding the Jamboree Bears sounds soon enough in order to help Sherry with that story, okay?
Oh, yeah. I'll mark myself down right now.
Okay, thank you. Let's see. You know he doesn't, Jacob. You know Andrew doesn't mark himself down. When
no,
he says,
right, yeah. Oh, he's very diligent about marking everyone else down, though.
Yeah, but it's just like the pen is like a half an inch above the paper. Why so many brands have decided to keep quiet when it comes to Roe v. Wade? Well, of course, because why do you want to get in the middle of something? Recent poll that I saw in 2021, 49% of Americans are in favor of abortion, 47% are not, and most smart brands are not getting involved. But you do have these wokers that do want to step in. I think Levi Strauss is involved. Mm-hmm. Bumble,
Gucci.
Match.com, Gucci. They're all like, yeah, they're
Ben
taking
and Jerry's.
Away. Look out. Yeah, gay rights are next. Gay rights are next. So if you want to find some ignorant businesses, those would be some ones that you don't want to buy anymore. Levi Strauss, you know, the woman that was the president of Levi, 20 years, she says, I joined Levi. I quit so I could be free. This was a woman who also walked away from $1 million severance. She said that she had written an essay about why it was so bad during the COVID to shut down the schools. Her name is Sey. She became an outspoken advocate for keeping the schools open. And then Levi management came to her and said, stop speaking out about these political issues. And she's like, no, I'm not. And then they're like, okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. Get on your mama bear back because bye-bye to you. And then she ended up leaving. I guess the whole woke thing of Levi's and Target and other corporations that have made the decision that they're going to get on the left side or the right side or the woke side of some of these big political issues.
But not many. A lot of them are staying away from it because they're concerned that possibly 15 to 30% of their stakeholders could be alienated by this. So this is one that they're really treading lightly on because they don't really know how many people in terms of their consumers are on what side of this. So they may not stay silent forever, but for right now, I think they're waiting to see how this all kind of pans out.
There was an interesting editorial in the Wall Street Journal today. Somebody said, why don't the media ask the people on the left when they believe life begins?
Oh, I think they ask people that.
Have they?
Yeah, but it's I think so. I mean, I've certainly heard people discuss that.
Like Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden asked Joe Biden, when does life begin?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if they have an answer for that or if that's just not something. I mean, who's going to ask them that, right? The press corps? They're not going to ask that. Who would be the asker of that question?
What's wrong? That's a completely legitimate question.
Well, it's legitimate in the argument, but I don't know when it's appropriate in terms of when you would have that opportunity with a politician. Like, is Steve Ducey going to, or Peter Ducey or whoever it is he going to stand up and say, you know, when do you think life begins?
Yeah, that
probably
there.
Not.
Well, they asked Nancy Pelosi, and she said it's confusing and no one has ever been able to determine that, which is like, no, that's not true. Because she says, well, as a Catholic, and she tries to sort of paper over the thing. But that, no, I think it's a legitimate question to ask Joe Biden. They could ask Jen Psaki one more time. Has Psaki left yet? Has the new spokesperson stepped in?
I don't think she's... I think she's about to leave. She's headed to MSNBC, and I think that I think her name is Corinne... Jean Pierre will be taking over.
Right. Okay.
So, but right. Not yet.
Got it. By the way, thank you for going through a roller coaster ride of emotions with that bear story, Sherry. Certainly appreciate that.
Thank you. And thank you for saving it at the end. I hope it's true.
It is true. It
okay,
is true.
Good.
True
good, story. Good.
There we go. You're writing to us at mynorthwest.com. That's good. Good for you. 9 out of 10 dentists recommend that you write to us. Good and good for you to vent that spleen of yours. And you write at mynorthwest.com. You text as well. Come on in. The 1-888-973-5476 State Roofing text line. American consumers are shopping and traveling and working. And I read this. I was like, yes. I immediately sent it right to Jacob. It says, working just like it's 2019 again. I remember watching all those stories and hearing about the new normal and things will never be the same again and we'll never have this. And remember the good old days when people went to concerts and football games and oh my gosh, no one's going to shake hands anymore. And I'm just thinking, nope, no, 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 and no. Screw you, media. With your horror stories, the sky is falling and no one's ever going to do anything again. It's never going to be the same. No, no. We are creatures of habit, and when the smoke, and I mean a lot of the smoke that came from the media, clears, people will go back to their life as they had it before because that's the life that they wanted to have, that's the life they'd like to have, and that's what they want to do. So that's what they're doing again. So people are now traveling, and people are having vacations, and people are planning things. Of course, the economy's putting a bit of a monkey wrench into the whole thing, but life is returning back to, quote-unquote, not the new normal, which I fought against, Sherry, as much as you did, but just to normal again.
Yeah, and I think this is an indication of not that people changed, but people are naturally adapt, right? So, for instance, Netflix now is reeling from the fact that people aren't binge watching anymore. Well, they did that when you had to adapt to being at home all the time, and you know, places like you know, getting your groceries delivered and all of those things that came out of an idea of not being able to go to the grocery store because people told you it wasn't safe. So now people are getting out there. Ticketmaster says concert tickets are up 45%. They have 30% more concerts planned for 2022 than in 2019. Gym memberships are up again. 2 million people traveled by plane each day between April 17th and the 23rd. So, you know, all of the things that we were hoarding, paper towels and hand sanitizer, toilet paper, things like that, nobody's doing that anymore. You don't have to do that. And people, I think for this 2 year span, the media wanted you to believe that that was going to be the way life as we knew it was gone. Life as we knew it was never coming back, and we had to get adjusted to this thing. And that's not true. People were just adapting, and now they're going back to the way it should be and the way it has been for decades.
Right. Movie theaters say it's right back up again, that people are not doing the whole, you know, scaredy thing, going back in there, buying the popcorn. Movie theaters are going back again to the life that they had before because that's what they liked. That's what worked for them and doing again. I saw Fifth Avenue Theater has got a great lineup of shows. If Sweeney Todd is coming, they're doing Les Mis, Into the Woods. A bunch of really great shows. I love the Fifth Avenue Theater. But then I had a friend of mine who said that she wanted to buy a subscription to this season this year. And I was like, oh, I'll get tickets with you. But then they found out, and I think this is the case. Maybe you could find out for me, Jacob, that they want you to wear a mask while in the theater watching these great performances at, I think, a crown jewel of theater, which is the Fifth Avenue there in Seattle. Well, my friend said, if they make us wear a mask, then I'm not going. I don't want to wear a mask. I don't want to sit in the audience, you know, 6 months from now or whatever and watch Sweeney Todd or whenever it's going to be on the boards. And I don't want to wear a mask. So she said, I'm not going to buy season tickets. So it's like, oh, darn it.
So what's the rule on Broadway? I know it was before you had to show proof of vaccine or maybe negative COVID test. I don't know. Are they doing any of that anymore, even on Broadway? Masking?
I don't know. New York is a different – New York. I've been to New York a couple of times, and it's – they're still really tight on this stuff. They still are drinking the Kool-Aid on it. So going into stores, it'll still say have a mask on. You still see lots of people walking around the streets with them on. But I don't know if – I'm looking right now, COVID health and safety.
Mask through May 31st on Broadway shows.
Yeah. Oh, on Broadway? So Fifth Avenue is the same. We will continue to require proof of vaccination and masking for all patrons until at least May 31st, 2022. So maybe this is a policy that they will reconsider, but not till the end of the month.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go. I might get back in there and get some more tickets and go see some great shows at the Fifth Avenue. Yeah. People go back because that's what they want to do. They want to return back to normal again. And good to see that's exactly what's happening. The bar for reimposing the mask mandate is getting higher and higher again. This in the Washington Post. How high does it have to go?
Well, they're looking at, like, remember when Philadelphia, when they said, okay, they had a certain number of cases and the cases, like, went over 50%, but really it ended up being not many people at all that it affected, but they did that. They imposed the mask mandate and then they retracted it like 2 days later. It's really not catching on at all, even though this BA2 variant is spreading around a little bit. Nobody, it says, really has the appetite to go back to where we were with mask mandates. And they don't think that many states are going to be willing or wanting to do that anytime soon. It'll have to get really bad for people to go back to that because they just don't, nobody wants to do it anymore.
Good, good, good. Very little science behind it. Good. Good job. Way to come back to normalcy, everybody. Oh, we had Dr. Fauci. We got a standing ovation at University of Michigan for his speech, by the way. Here's some of Dr.
Think
Fauci.
Upon your future.
Future.
As that's stated by the American political theorist John Homer Shaw, and I and the activity of making them.
Wow, it's a short speech. Didn't seem to make a lot of sense, but they ate it up there.
I love that, whatever that was.
Now he's breakdancing. All right. He put down a piece of cardboard and he spun it right on top of his head. Mickey, when you graduated from college, who gave the commencement speech? Do you remember?
Oh, you're making me go back a long way.
See?
I don't remember.
Nobody remembers.
I don't remember.
No.
I don't. I remember.
Your point proven.
Blazing hot, and the guy had an accent, and I sat way in the back, and I didn't remember any of it.
Okay, would you remember it if it was the strippers from Australia Down Under?
Yeah, I'd remember that.
Okay, if they had come out and done your commencement speech, seven guys oiled up, and then they make the pecs dance.
Ew.
Yeah, okay, good.
Ew.
All right,
ew. That, sure.
Truncated version of the Mailman song, and it's up to you how much you'd like to play. And we'll right underneath it, we'll have Dr. Fauci while the music's going on. Dr. Fauci,
think upon your future, the Mailman, as you can see. And the
last part of Fauci, Andrew, I can't hear Fauci anymore. Okay. We'll get to the
day. Oh, well.
Didn't work out the way I wanted it to. Radio on the fly, everybody. Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon and stuff. 5:50. Okay, letter of the day. First, I take care of all the rest. Here we go, Sherry.
John's Mouse, area code 360, says, I live in Southwest Washington. My neighbor shot bats in the back room of his house with his 12-gauge, but eventually tore the back room off and remodeled it.
Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Fine story. Unicycle Mike. Mouse obviously listens to the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker show and knew you would be waiting up to blast it with a shotgun. That's true.
Inflation. Donna in the 360 says Grandpa Joe doesn't understand anything.
206 says, dream on, John. The courts just gave us the Dems, the House for the Senate and the Senate. You can say inflation all you want, but abortion is going to be the number one issue.
360 says, where the heck do you buy your chicken sandwiches at?
Ending a sentence with a preposition. How do we feel about that, Sherry?
Not so good, but I understand. There was passion. It was all in capitals.
360, $30 and $2 sandwiches and a salad. I'll have to get a fourth job.
253 says, Costco hot dog is still $1.50 with drink.
And holding exorcism 360 says, after 2 years of working at home, I need to exercise the spirits and extra calories.
Rachel in the 425 says, if John performs an exorcism on his mouse and the mouse starts walking backwards on all fours, can you take a video and put that up on Facebook?
If you want to protect yourself, get a double barrel shotgun.
That's right. All right. Hey, I read the book and I saw the movie Exorcist. The book was way better.
360 says, was Sherry an extra in The Exorcist 3 because her hands are identical to George C. Scott's hands?
360, is this job in Sherry's litany of all her jobs? Sounds like one we haven't heard before.
That's the new one. 206 says, if you tell all your friends and relatives to watch for your part in the movies, it's for certain your glorified featured extra part will end up on the cutting room floor.
There's
no hand mentioned that.
I thought the hand was an extra whatever.
Write yourself down in the book.
I'll write him down.
I'll write the air above the paper.
Here's the one. Get the thing ready. 425 says, Sherry's personalized license plate. These hands.
Too bad. Some good ones.
All right. Teeny?
All men and women created by the thing.
You get another thing, okay.
Mm-hmm. Time for the letter of the day.
Thank you, Teeny. Thank her. Thank you, Teeny. Thank you.
Thanks, Teeny.
Thank you, Teeny.
Sorry.
Area code 425 says, I usually fly first class and sometimes take Alaska Airlines. I'm going to think twice now, thanks to John. Is it because of the pilot story he told? No. I'm concerned I'd look over at the seat next to me and see a man sporting a high-coiffed, greasy pompadour with a mouthful of ranch dressing swearing under his breath. No more chocolate for you, John. Got them all in there.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. You guys are great. Let's do it again. Let's do another hour.
That's all she wrote.
Okay.
Let's make it sound like the first hour.
Okay.
But the first, let's have Mickey do a real traffic. Here we go.